All right, we're going to get started.
Okay, Mark.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. My name's Craig Maladra. I'm an alderman from the 5th Ward, and tonight it's my turn to lead the committee of the whole meeting. We're going to begin tonight with a Pledge of Allegiance, and I see some Girl Scouts out there, so if you wouldn't mind, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Come on up.
Here's the flag here.
Whenever you're ready.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Okay. I think I forgot to do the roll call or take attendance. All members of the committee, save for Mayor Burns and Alderman Pollock, are present. Alderman Pollock, in spite of the fact that he's the coach, his son's baseball team is actually playing in a championship tonight. I don't know how that happened, but it did. Okay, first item on the agenda. We're going to recognize some volunteer gardeners. Oh, sorry. Gene's correcting me. I geeked already. Consent agenda.
Move to approve the one item on the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Point of order, what item would that be?
That'd be the minutes.
The minutes.
Four. That'd be four. The minutes. Oh, okay, I got it. Thank you.
Okay. Can I go to item 5A now? 5A, recognize City Hall volunteer gardeners from Siebert Landscaping, Memer number 33 Lodge, and Geneva Girl Scout Troops 4057, and a whole bunch of Girl Scout troops. So who can tell us what this volunteer effort was about?
Well, my name is Stephen with Siebert Landscaping.
Got to come to the podium.
My name is Stephen with Siebert Landscaping, and a couple months ago, Steve Lemire from the City of Geneva asked us to participate and work with City and their volunteers in creating a garden for the Lincoln Highway gazebo. So we were honored to be a part of it, and we built the wall around the gazebo, and we donated some plants for volunteers, the Girl Scouts and the Vikings, to plant. And they did a wonderful job, and it looks beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much. Mm-hmm, and did you guys work on that?
Yeah.
Was it fun? What'd you plant?
All different kinds of flowers.
Come on.
You guys can go together if you want. I'll stand together.
Yeah.
Stand
together.
That's
so you're
fine.
Uh-oh. There's a problem.
Yeah.
Now, Richard.
Here, girls. Right in here. There. Right up into here.
That's perfect.
Boom. We did.
Can you give us your names?
I'm Ryan, Molly, and Hannah, and we did it.
All right, just tell us. You don't worry about the microphone.
For the butterflies, we planted a migration center for them.
Oh, nice. How long did it take, do you think?
I don't really know because there were different troops there, too.
Okay, how long did you work? Days?
One day.
A full day? Great. Great. Well, thank you very much for your help. Okay. Anybody from the Memer Lodge? Did I say that correctly?
Yes, you certainly did. Congratulations.
Good evening, everybody. You can move that up.
My name's Tom Hansen. I'm the chief of the lodge. Memer number 33 has been in Geneva for over 100 years now, wow. And we're happy to do this volunteer work. Our interest is helping the guys at the American Legion, and this was a nice opportunity for us. We formed a landscape committee in January, and we're pleased to be involved with this. We think it's very good looking also, and we'd like being a part of the Lincoln Highway Coalition and a part of our community. And Memer is the correct pronunciation.
I have to confess I was coached.
Very well done.
What is the origin of the Memers?
Memer is a, we are a lodge in the Independent Order of Vikings. They're an old fraternal organization. There's a lodge in St. Charles, another one in Batavia, all around the country. There were up to 120 of them. There's about 30 lodges left. We're very fortunate. We have a young population. We got some young fellows here, including our recording secretary, Mr. Matt Reed, is with us this evening. Memer was a Norse god who was a hostage and lost his head. Odin, however, had a herb poultice for him, and he kept his brain alive, and that head became the roots to Yggdrasil, which is the tree of knowledge. And Odin's two birds, Muggin and Gubbin, lived in that tree and flew around the world. He had lost an eye in this hostage taking. So it's a brutal Norse story. And anyway, we're happy to be a part of our community. We've been Memer number 33 for a little over 100 years here in the Geneva community. We just served 240 people fried herring yesterday morning at the American Legion beer tent. And we feel we make the very best fried herring certently in the Fox Valley.
I think you do.
Anyway, thank you all very much. We appreciate it. We're very pleased to be a part of the community.
It's good to see you. I think I'd like a club where you just lose your head off. Yeah. So, moving on. Looking to my coach. Okay. Next item on the agenda, 5B, request from the Chamber for street closures on 3rd Street from James to South for the Fine Arts Festival. Could I have a motion?
So moved.
I have Vogelsberg and Hill. Any questions? Comments? Okay. Voice vote sufficient? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. Motion passes. 5C, request from the Fox Valley Marathon for street closures and use of emergency personnel on September 19th for a marathon.
Move approval. Second.
Okay, Hill and Marks. Anybody in the audience?
Pastor Ellie.
Eric, how are you?
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Good evening.
Good. I'd like to introduce Dave Shebley. He is the organizer of the Fox Valley Marathon. He's going to be able to give you a lot more information than I'll be able to, all the details. So, turn it over to you, Dave.
Hi, I'm Dave Shebley from St. Charles. Thank you for having us here. And what can I tell you about this that you need to know without overstaying my time here?
Well, I think that we got a lot out of the packet. But
okay.
For anybody watching, you might want to just give a quick overview.
Absolutely. For the record, we're not crazy. We are putting a marathon on.
Except that you are a marathon.
Exactly. This is the, as we like to say, the second largest marathon in northern Illinois outside of Chicago. And this will be our first. But we will put this on September 19th at 7 a.m., starting in downtown St. Charles, going all the way up and down the Fox Valley. It's actually three races, a half marathon, a 20-mile run, and a full marathon. The half marathon is actually already closed out. We have registrants from 24 states currently, from Hawaii to New York, Minnesota to Florida. The key is, though, is that 90% of our registrants are from Illinois. And that's really the sizzle here. We're bringing all kinds of people from all around Illinois to the Fox Valley, not just for one day, not just for an event, but they will be out here training all summer. That's the way marathons work. They don't just get up in the morning and decide they're going to do it. They're focused on it. They spend 4 or 5 months preparing for it, which means they're out here training. They're out here visiting the area. If they haven't been here before, it's an eye-opener. If they are, perhaps they see portions of it they didn't know existed before. So the purpose of it is to promote health, to promote the Fox Valley area. Hopefully we can grow this going forward. The sport of marathoning has exploded nationally to the point where Chicago fills up in 45 days, New York fills up on a lottery basis, Boston has set records and so forth. We're leveraging that and the fact that there's nothing out here for to use that to expose this area, to promote the area. So having said that, we're not asking for a whole lot in the area, and we are paying our way on this. And we have this schematic here showing what we're proposing. One of the nice things about marathoning is we can predict about how long people will be from A to B. It's all about completing it and not competing in it for most people. The blue line shows what we're proposing. That morning we would leave St. Charles. Our runners would come down Route 31. We would get them off Route 31 as quick as we can. We're proposing about a 40-minute window that will be open and closed completely. We would come down, let's see, I'm not sure how to do this. If you can see, we'll come down 31 and we'll get off 31 at Stevens and come down the river,
River Lane.
Been through so many streets up and down 26 miles, I don't remember which ones are which. Cross the bridge using only one half of one side, so the north lane going, the northeast, westbound lane going east, and then loop under and get back and get on the path. And most of the route will be on the path. And that's it as far as street closings go. We're looking at about a 40-minute window. And we'll be coming up the other side. The red lines show the rest of the path, the rest of the route going out and coming back. So that's the nutshell.
All right. That's very good. So when they get to Geneva, they're still fresh and thinking highly of things, and they're exhausted in St. Charles, right?
Pretty much. Well, exactly. And as anyone who's witnessed a marathon will attest, it's an exhilarating experience. It's a spectator sport. There's a half marathon every weekend somewhere around here all through the fall. There just is. It's just much simpler to put one on. Marathon, I can attest, after all the hours we put in, just getting to this point right here, much more difficult, but it's much more exhilarating, much more of a spectator sport. Fans tend to go out and watch their runners much more than you do in a half. A half's all, you did your half this morning, okay, great. When you come out to a marathon, it's a lifelong experience for many people. It will be the first and last time they ever do it. In fact, about 33% of our registrants, 34% of our registrants right now are first-time marathoners. That's a great thing. If we can provide an event they can do here in our area first time. So, yeah, I think you'll see a lot of spectators, and hopefully as we begin to grow this, even more spectators out.
Sounds good. Any questions? Mr. Singh, Alderman Singh.
Thank you, sir. Is there a prerequisite for one to participate in this event?
In the qualifying time or something?
Yes.
Like that? No. We're open to anyone who is willing to sign our waiver and train accordingly.
Thank you for joining.
To participate. Well, there's certainly an opening, sir.
There's no age limit.
No, our floor is 18 years of age. Some marathons will go below that. We've chosen initially to not even approach that for a number of reasons. We want you to be at least 18 years of age. We have, I think, the oldest registrant right now is 74 years of age.
Is there an entrance fee?
Yes, there is. And it's a sliding scale. It started back in the spring at about $65, $75. Now it's $85, and it'll go up. It's very typical for marathons to go up in price the closer you get to the event, largely because it costs us more to put things together if we don't know exactly how many people we're dealing with. And that's a good point, how many people we're dealing with. We're capping this at 1,200 runners. Sounds like a big number, and, in fact, it is if they were all in this room right mm-hmm. now. But they are largely spread out along a very, very long, slow path. The runners we predicted coming back up the path will be, probably 2 to 4 per minute, at any one point in time. It's not that many runners. They're all about just finishing.
You must have a large number of volunteers that are going to be helping
yes.
you.
Yeah, our estimates right now, we have a volunteer coordinator. Our estimates are between 700 and 800 volunteers on race day. Right now we have a committee of about 30 people, committee heads and so forth, that are all working pretty hard right now to try to put this together. So
sounds exciting. Good
Thank
luck
you.
To you.
Thank you very much. Well, hopefully we come back each year and we continue to grow it, because only
that's
with the cooperation.
Miles. That's a 14-cigar event for you.
Could I use a golf cart?
Well, maybe start a new event. There's
You could be a you could be a pace runner.
I think we're onto something here.
All right. Thank you very much.
Any more questions?
I just had a real quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned that they come and actually practice. They do actually run the whole entire race?
What they do is one of the big dawning, there's two statistics that come out here. One is that when you choose to do a marathon, location is everything. Mm-hmm. 65% of marathoners pick location. So if you want to do a marathon and you live in this area, let's say the greater Chicago area, Chicago is your only choice. The only time you'll run on that course is marathon morning. Can't go down and train on the streets.
That's
here,
true.
You can come out all summer long, and we push that. Come on. In fact, every other Saturday, we host a free training run, whether you're in our marathon or not. Starts right here in St. Charles, and we'll go down, and we'll piece off. Like this weekend, I think we're doing 12 miles coming down through the area to show them the course. So that morning, it's less of an anxiety factor.
So people can expect runners to be
absolutely
out there.
Absolutely. And up and down the course. There's no reason why they would come down and pick one segment of it unless it was tougher than to get here. You know, if they live 90 miles away or 100 miles away, maybe it'd be difficult to get here. But that's one of our big selling points.
Interesting.
The other thing is the 20-mile run is lined up exactly 3 weeks before the Chicago Marathon purposely, because your last 20-mile training run, we want you out here. Even if you're doing Chicago, we want you to come see us. And so hopefully we turn them into marathoners next year and so forth. So there's a plan behind it, but we'll see.
Thank you. Great idea.
Anything else?
Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you say, sir, that the half marathon is already filled up?
That's correct. Right. We get that look a lot.
Yeah, well,
you know, darn.
It was for my daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason is in order to keep things manageable for city services up and down the river, everyone's stressed, we all know that, with city services, and we're paying our way here. We need to keep this on the path, because if we got it on the streets, if in the future we could find a way to get portions of this on the streets and then back on the path, we can thin things out and we can put more runners on the path. Unfortunately, the half stresses the course because runners are generally faster in a half marathon, and we don't need really fast runners buzzing in and around all these marathoners because we don't control the path. The path is still open to the public, so there's a reason for that, unfortunately.
Well, maybe we can still join it next year.
Exactly, exactly.
Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.
5D, conditional site plan approval for expansions on Gary Lane. Mr. Hunch.
Good evening. Dick Hunch, Director of Community Development. Wanted to go over a couple of quick items. I know you have a lot of information in your packet on this agenda item. This project was reviewed by the Plan Commission back on May 13th. The existing conditions on this site, this is at 2202 Gary Lane, which is the former township offices and garage. There's a 6,000-square-foot one-story building on the property and then about a 1,200-square-foot garage area. The site currently has some paved drive areas, and it has some gravel areas, gravel-surfaced areas along the one side and then back. The proposed uses break down into three phases, and this is a site plan review that's a little unusual because we typically don't get involved in phasing of site plans. But in this case, this is a phased program with 10,600 square feet in phase one, and then about 9,000 square feet in phase two and 4,000 square feet in phase three. The offices that are proposed, or excuse me, uses that are proposed for these different phases break out into an office area and then an assembly or manufacturing area and a warehousing area. And as our memo pointed out, we calculated our parking requirements along with the applicant's help here based on the detailed information submitted by the applicant. The Plan Commission, in its consideration of this matter, did recommend approval unanimously, contingent upon some standards or conditions being met prior to the issuance of building permits, and I want to get right to those because we've had considerable staff-level discussion with the applicant on these conditions. The first condition that was mentioned in the Plan Commission recommendation was that the applicant shall provide an alternative Phase 1 site plan and Phase 1 grading plan, which provides 7 additional parking spaces and shows the gravel area replaced with bituminous surface or restored turf. Very simply, Phase 1 does not meet the parking standard. We want to make sure that if Phase 2 doesn't become established, that the site is brought into stability in terms of the city's code requirements on hard surface drives and parking areas, and also to make sure that those 7 additional spaces that are a shortfall under Phase 1 are provided. And then the subsequent phases all meet the parking requirements of the zoning ordinance. The second condition mentioned in the Plan Commission's recommendation was that a note be added to the construction plans which give an absolute date, and we've been discussing with the applicant 3 years, by which time the gravel surfaces, the existing gravel surfaces, are eliminated and done in accordance with an alternative site and grading plan. At this point, we have not received that alternative site and grading plan, but we've worked it into the conditions of the approval resolution should the council decide to vote in favor of this project. The third item the Plan Commission discussed was the detention basin, and we've had considerable discussion about this. We have stormwater management ordinance requirements that really attempt to foster or encourage detention areas that involve vegetated slopes, native plant species, prairie plant species, and aquatic species to deal with these in a more natural way. In this case, there simply isn't enough room on the site to accomplish a stormwater detention basin in that fashion. So an area on the south edge of the site does have some masonry walls that are a part of the overall construction that would contain the volume necessary to meet our stormwater ordinance requirements. We've been in discussions with the applicant about the wall height from the bottom of the basin to the wall top, keeping that to about 4 feet in height, really just to minimize the visual effect of just what is essentially a large concrete masonry basin and trying to minimize that visual impact. And the applicants have submitted a letter explaining that they've done some research. They've looked at the vegetation along the rail right-of-way. They've ridden the train. So they've looked at views from the train, and it turns out that this is the railroad tracks are south of the site. And as it turns out, there isn't a great deal of visibility of this 6-foot enclosed stormwater management basin from either adjoining properties or the railroad tracks. The adjoining property lines to the east and west will have a cyclone fence with the slats in the fence to screen the views of activity on the site from surrounding properties. So at this point, the staff is prepared to support the plans as prepared with the 6-foot wall height as opposed to the 4-foot wall height. And certainly the applicant and Dan and Pam from Public Works can speak to that further if need be. And then the final condition was something we see often in site plan reviews, and that is that the final engineering be approved by the city engineer prior to the issuance of a building permit. So that's just a quick breakdown of the Plan Commission recommendation and what we've been working on in terms of the conditions of approval.
Okay, thank you. Before we get into questions, I was remiss in something. Girl Scouts, I appreciate that you hung out for all of this, and you can stay if you want, but if you don't find this to be absolutely riveting and thoroughly enjoyable, you can leave anytime you like, okay? All right. Do we have any questions for Director Unch? No questions at all? Alderman Brown.
I think I can have two questions. The first is, will we receive the revised plan to vote on at council level, Phase 1?
The way the resolution is worded, it would be a staff review of those plans.
So we might not get them by next week, but we would
I think that's really incumbent on the applicant, but we've written the approval resolution incorporating that as a condition to be met on a staff level basis, administrative basis, prior to the issuance of permit.
And do I understand that you are not recommending one of the Plan Commission's recommendations?
Yeah, it would be the third one with respect to in the resolution.
Your
would be C.
Making recommendation does not include all four of the.
That's right. It includes the
was
one.
Was the question of safety ever brought up? I could see the difference between a 4-foot retention basin, detention basin, and a 6-foot in terms of somebody falling in or getting swept in during some extreme event. I think I could get out of a 4-foot pool. I'm not sure at my age anymore I'd get out of a 6-foot pool, and
well,
my
certainly
grandchildren may not be able to.
Yeah, in this case, the design of the basin is such that it has a graduated slope area that comes to the middle of it. And Dan can get into the design because I know they've looked at this in some detail.
So that question has been addressed.
It has.
I believe it has. We've gone through a lot of, as Dick said, we've gone through a lot of discussions with the applicant. And by adding the center island or whatever you want to call it, which is where the overland the overflow is, we can get to it to maintain it. It's actually their responsibility to maintain it, but should they fail to do that, we need to be able to access it ourselves. They've actually put a fence around the entire wall system, so I think we've done every precaution. They've actually, for aesthetics, they've put a form liner in the concrete to make it look like brick, stone. Although our preferred method is to get down to the 4 feet, we're willing to, they've addressed a lot of the concerns that we have, so we're willing to move along with it.
Thank you. I accept that as a reasonable explanation.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was my question, was actually the safety issue of the 4 foot and the 6 foot. So it was answered. Thank you.
Okay. If we have no further questions, could I have a motion, please?
Move to accept the Plan Commission recommendation minus recommendation number 3.
Second.
And a second. So Alderman
Site
Brown.
Plan approval of 2202 Gary Lane.
Thank you. What's that? Is there anybody in the audience who would like to address this? Nope. Okay. I think voice vote is sufficient again. So all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nope. Motion passes. Item 5E, draft resolution authorizing an amendment to the tower lease, an agreement with Sprint/Nextel.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Alderman Flanagan, Alderman Marks, any questions on this? Pretty straightforward. Okay, all in favor?
Excuse me.
I'm sorry, Alderman Brown.
I think I'll put Director Van Gysgum on the spot here a little bit. Director Van Gysgum, when it comes to these leases, we approve more than one on the tower. Are the other current lessees of the tower notified about the frequencies involved so there can be no question of frequency interference, et cetera?
Yes, we do. We make sure that the applicant has signed, if not going to every single person that has a lease or company that has a lease, we make sure that they're aware that they cannot interfere with any other cellular frequencies that are out there.
So you don't actually contact the other companies on this tower, but you make this company sign a non-interference agreement.
That's correct. And actually what this is for is...
What would be the enforcement mechanism if one of the other companies came forward and one of your sidebands is interfering with our transmission? What would happen?
I would direct that to Mr. Radovich, who has been involved with this many times before and was involved with this directly with this amendment. So this is more of this is a microwave dish that is there for a backup of information. This actually does not carry a frequency that would be a normal cellular carrier on the tower.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Do we have any other questions? All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. 5F, draft ordinance allowing health and fitness clubs as a permitted use in the I-1 Light Industrial District.
So moved.
Second.
Woolsburg, Alderman Marks. Okay. Is there anybody from the audience on this one? Nope. Okay.
Anyone from the staff?
Anyone from the staff?
Mr. Unch.
I know Dick's here. Do we have any questions for anybody? Nope. Okay. All in favor, please.
May I ask one question?
Alderman Brown.
Thank you. Mr. Unch, why was this not ever listed originally in the I-1? It's just an oversight or something that's come up in the 21st century?
Yeah, it just is, you know, when the ordinance was done back in 95, it was just a use that wasn't included. You know, it's been our experience in working with industrial districts. Often recreational kinds of uses are located in industrial zones because they've got clear height ceilings to work with. In this case, this particular use that's contemplated to go into this one I-1 location is a yoga fitness facility, so it's they're not going to need real high ceilings, but that's typically a situation that you have with this kind of use.
Do our current parking standards sufficient to cover this sort of thing? I can imagine this has more parking than a typical warehouse market.
Well, we looked at the parking and really the parking that we're recommending be assigned to this use class would be use class 9, which is a 4-space per 1,000 square foot standard. And in just reviewing other communities' ordinances, frankly, and the volume anticipated in this particular use, we felt it would be adequate at what would be our retail parking standard.
So this motion including the parking class?
The parking class with it, yes.
And that's acceptable to the specific person involved. Would that be a general addition to the I-1 Light and District for
that's correct.
Fitness?
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Nope. Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Nope. Motion passes. Item 5G, draft resolution authorizing execution of real estate tax abatement agreement for Roquette Properties, Inc.
Move approval.
Alderman second. Hill, do we have a second? Alderman Piper. Okay. Questions on this for Paul or nope? I think we'll take a roll call on this. Yeah. Okay. Take the roll, please.
Alderman Brown.
Aye.
Alderman Dantino.
Aye.
Alderman Flanagan.
Aye.
Alderman Hill.
Aye.
Alderman Marks.
Aye.
Alderman Maladra.
Aye.
Alderman Piper.
Aye.
Alderman Singer?
Aye.
Alderman Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion carries. If it's okay with the committee, I'd like to move item 7, new business, up before item 6. We do have closed session on the agenda, but there will be no action taken after the closed session. Okay. So if we could cover new business. Does anybody on the committee have any new business? Ooh, Alderman Flanagan.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, there was the gentleman, Stephen, from Siebert. I wanted to thank him because over the years, and I wasn't quite sure if it was him or not, he had actually, Siebert had adopted Route 31 and 3rd, and were doing some free landscaping for the Geneva beautification. So I really did want to make sure that, you know, that he was also recognized for doing that, too. So I guess Siebert's been a real asset to our community by donating quite a bit of time and as well as materials. I also wanted to bring up the vandalism that seems to be occurring on the bridge flower boxes again. And I ask that the citizens, whoever passes by, drives by, and they have their cell phone camera, and they see some sort of funny activity going on the bridge, I really would appreciate it if somebody could take a picture and forward it on to either our city administrator or the police department, because these flowers were planted by Geneva High School horticultural classes, and they were the ones who planted them, put them on the bridge, and I'm sure they really don't want to see their flowers being vandalized, and we do have some extra ones, but still. So I'm just asking citizens to keep their eyes and ears open and see if we can catch them. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
For those of us who don't have camera capabilities on our cell phones, is a 911 call to the police department?
I think that would be in order, too, but you'd have to figure out how you can identify the individual.
Okay.
You'll have to memorize.
You'll have to memorize his who,
unless
her,
they're in front of the car.
It, whatever.
Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you. I would like to offer a $100 reward for anyone who is found engaging in an activity who would then be prosecuted and found guilty.
Thank you. I know that okay. There was another person who...
I think that we have to be clear that's not the city offering a reward.
No, it is me.
That's Alderman Singer making a personal donation.
There was another citizen last year or the year before whenever we had the vandalism, and I don't know if he'll step up to the plate, but I'm sure I thank you very much, Alderman Singer, and
I appreciate your great effort in this cause and all the young people that are engaging.
Well,
in
that's
this.
What it's I'm just, saying. You know,
it's just a sad thing.
The high school like kids this. And
Timothy should... goes on and on and on each and every year.
It's silly. It's
it
absolutely
truly is.
Silly.
Okay, thank you, Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to thank everyone, the chamber, mostly for a wonderful Swedish Days. It was a great turnout. I think we had a nice, safe week, and it was really fun. Right, Mr. Alderman Piper, who was
absolutely.
There every single day shopping
great.
And drinking. I mean, eating.
In that order.
In that order.
In that order.
It was a good time. It's a good time.
Very good.
And if our illustrious Mayor Burns is watching at home, I'd like to point out that Alderman Melandra wrapped this up in 36 minutes and
just
still made the funding.
Through.
So, yes.
We
yeah.
just charged
we're
through.
We're not finished yet.
We are almost finished.
Okay, so speaking of not being finished yet, my item of new business, does anybody know why that guy brought the bush in here?
Yeah, we were curious now.
Oh, Dan does.
Dan does.
Dan does.
We didn't ask hard enough questions.
Mr. Dinges.
What did he bring? If this takes 40 minutes, Dan.
It was their visual effect for the 2202 Gary Lane of the plant that is growing south of the property that screens the railroad track from what the pond will be.
Oh.
That's all.
Well, that's not what I envisioned, but that's okay.
It's not going to be that tall, is it?
Oh,
that
yes.
tall?
They are that tall.
That tall?
It's growing there.
Yeah. That tall up to the ceiling? It was up to our ceiling, practically.
It's already growing there.
It's already growing there.
It's already growing there.
Wow. That's
all right. Anybody in the audience have anything? You guys really hung out through this whole thing.
That's brownies for you.
I am impressed.
I hope they earned a badge or something.
Yes, sir.
Do we have any Girl Scout cookies for them?
They're supposed to bring Girl Scout cookies to us. I hope that's why they were here. All right, I need a motion to go into closed session.
Don't move.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I think
okay.
the moms were looking
Thanks.
For a night out.
You should announce the reason.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know what
to do. Closed session
litigation.
On probable litigation.
Probable litigation.
Probable litigation.
Microphones are off. Oh, I didn't turn the other switch.
Did you finally?
I moved to adjourn.
Okay, we have motion to adjourn from Alderman Flanagan and second by Alderman Hill. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Come on, let's hang out just a little longer.
Right, so you want somebody to be opposed?
All right, meeting closed. Thank you very much.
Good job, Craig.
Good job, Craig.
Piper.